Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin, here to bring you one of the last three mock drafts we're going to do, because we're going to do three mock drafts during this draft week because, you know, I just can't help myself, and I know you guys probably can't either if you're watching this. So we're going to have this one today, Monday. I know it's a little bit late. I was holding off releasing it just in case any news broke with regards to the tampering stuff. You know, I don't think it's going to affect this year's draft, but, you know, there's a chance that the punishment could come down before the draft itself, so I was thinking, you know, that there was a chance that it may have even been announced on Monday. It doesn't appear that that will be the case, so I'm going to go ahead and release this. Either way, I doubt it will make a huge difference in terms of this year's draft. It's probably likely to be something next year, and again, you know, maybe a third-round pick next year, you know, I think the Jeremy Maclin situation from a few years ago, that's probably the closest comp we have to this. It's not, unless there's like some other stuff that has happened that we don't know anything about, it's not at all similar to like the Tom Brady, Sean Payton thing. So I wouldn't think, you know, this is not going to be first round pick type territory. It's probably going to be day two pick plus late round pick 2025, 2026. That's kind of what happened with Maclin. The exception would be like if the Falcons and the Vikings came to some sort of settlement a la the Cardinals and Eagles last year, then maybe that could happen this year if both teams agree to it. Don't think that's likely, but again, anything can happen, but we just have to move forward with what we know, which is the picks that the Falcons currently have. So for today's mock, we're going to get into that. In case you guys didn't see it, I was running the Falcons for SB Nation's Writers Mock Draft, which is really interesting. It's always fun to get an idea of, it injects more of like the realism, I feel like, because it has real people making the picks, not a simulator, not some one person who has their thoughts, you know, making all the picks based on their board. And I think it actually does create some pretty cool scenarios. And in this one, if you haven't seen the article up on the site, the Falcons received an offer to trade all the way down to 19 with the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for a 2025 first round pick and pick 83, which is a third rounder, and the 2024 draft. And I just took it. I mean, I think that's a tremendous haul. I think that future first round pick is absolutely massive for the Falcons' flexibility in 2025 in terms of potentially getting a quarterback or just adding two pieces to what should be a win now roster. So that was a no brainer for me. And it was a little bit, you know, sketchy waiting to 19, obviously, for these prospects, but it ended up working out really well. And we're going to get into what happened with that pick. But I decided to build out the rest of that mock draft. Like, I wanted to see how that would affect things with the Falcons picking up an additional day two pick and moving down to 19. What kind of player could they get there? How does that affect things? So this will be basically our mock draft with trades for this week. And we will get into that and the specifics of that shortly. Before we do, I want to bring you a real quick word from our sponsor, betonline.ag. Folks, BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs, especially now as we get into your summer sports. They've got MLB fired up, golf, NBA playoffs, and NHL playoffs all underway. No matter what your team, they've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. You know, I know that the Hawks season unceremoniously ended, but maybe you want to hate bet on the teams you don't like, or, you know, you want to switch to some other sports. I'm not sure if they've got UFL stuff up there yet, but that could be something interesting for the football fans. You know, draft props, check them out. If you're a sicko with that, I don't trust the draft enough to do that, but that's on you, I guess. But no matter what you want to bet on, guys, BetOnline is your number one source. BetOnline.ag is the site. So head to that website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, guys, let's dive into this mock draft. So for those that didn't read my article last week, or, you know, hadn't heard about it, because I couldn't help but talk about it because it was fun. The Falcons did trade down to 19. They picked up that future first and the third rounder from the Rams, and they still got Laiatu Latu at 19, which is basically a dream scenario. Actually, only one edge rusher went between pick 8 and pick 19. So that was a great scenario for the Falcons. There was also a cornerback available there if Latu had been gone. There were options, and I think 19 is realistically like the lowest I think you could go and still have a realistic shot at one of the edge rushers. So I think that's, you know, this is an ideal scenario for the Falcons if they get an offer like this, and obviously if Latu is still there. But, you know, regardless of whether, you know, you think this trade down to 19 is likely, I mean, I don't think it's super duper likely, it's just a possibility. You can use this trade down to simulate any kind of trade you want. Basically, this would be the if you take away the future first, this would be similar to the value you would get to trade to 10, 11, or 12 for the most part. 13, it slides more into that you need a second rounder range, so it wouldn't exactly be the same as that, but you could sort of take away the future first and then pretend that this was a trade with the Jets or with the Vikings or the Broncos moving up to 8. So either way, you get that third round pick approximately from that. And obviously you're probably still looking to get one of the edges, but you know, I like Latu the best for the Falcons, considering his skill set, considering he's probably the most pro ready. I like his technical polish. I have a hard time thinking that Latu will not be a good NFL player, and we've been burned a lot. Will Latu be a great NFL player? That is the question. Like, will he really be worth a top 10 pick when it's all said and done compared to like the best players in this draft? I don't know, but I think he's not someone that's going to bust. And I think he's someone that will be able to contribute right away. You know, I've talked about Latu a lot. He gets this weird reputation for being small, and he's bigger than Dallas Turner by about, you know, 15 to 20 pounds. So that, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if people just think SEC equals girth or something like that. It's not true. Latu is significantly bigger than Turner. And also, for the record, Turner is not a great run defender. I don't think that it's like a problem necessarily. I mean, I don't think he's an impact run defender, and Latu really isn't either. But, you know, Latu is not small. He does have relatively short arms. He has the least length of any of the top three pass rushers. And that's the one thing that gives me pause, because under Terry Fontenot, the Falcons have typically prioritized the length pretty highly with all of their defensive linemen. So that's the one thing that's kind of like, okay, you know, is he going to be this high on their board or not? I don't know. But I think if they do trade down, Latu is the target. And I like his fit a lot. And we won't spend too much time on Latu just because I've talked about him a lot. And I think he's a great fit for this team. He gives this team the edge rusher they really desperately need going forward. So with the Falcons picking up that extra third, it does give them a lot of options. And one of those options is to sort of scan the draft board as we get closer to the second round and see if there's a player that's falling that the team would like to trade up and pounce on. So right in this simulation, and I think this is a relatively likely target, like this particular spot, the Falcons do call the Cardinals at 27 and try to trade up, and the Cardinals accept. So the Falcons trade up from 43 to 27, and the price for that would be about a third round pick to make the deal. Like, I mean, if you go off the trade value chart, it could be a little bit different here or there, but ultimately, you know, the Cardinals accepted. They were very happy to accept a third round pick for that move. That's pretty close to what you would expect to pay here. So the Falcons do send the pick they got from the Rams, which is 83, to the Cardinals to get up to 27. And here they have some more, they have some higher end options available to them, particularly at cornerback and wide receiver. I also wouldn't rule out, like, if Jerzon Newton falls into this range, I think this could be a good place to go up and get him too. So that's one to monitor, because it seems like he's tumbling down boards a little bit, which blows my mind. But I love Jerzon Newton, Johnny Newton. I would absolutely consider him as well. But here the Falcons go with a corner, which we know is one of their biggest needs. They get cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, obviously first round name grade. You know, there's nothing that just seals the deal for me. No, but McKinstry is really a good fit for this defense. I know Lance Zierlein actually comped him to AJ Terrell, which is funny. But I can see it. Like, they're both, I think AJ Terrell's a better athlete, and a little bit of a higher end player overall, but McKinstry is a similar style where he is an elite cover corner. He's very technically sound. He can get a little grabby at times, and that could be, you know, a problem that he's going to have to learn to deal with in the NFL, because they'll flag you more often than not there. But he's got a good frame. He's, you know, 6'2", 200. He's a good athlete. He's not as great as Terrell, especially in terms of the long speed, but he's good. And that's really the only thing that holds him back, is like he's a good, not great athlete, and he doesn't have quite as good of a frame as Terrell, which is why he's more of like a late first pick as opposed to like a top 15 pick. So he's just a very polished, very calm and comfortable player on the field. Other than sometimes getting a little bit grabby, he's very aggressive with his coverage, and I like that. He's just very under control. That typically means that this is a guy you can rely on to come in and play immediately, which the Falcons probably need. He's super scheme versatile. If the Falcons want to rotate their coverages, if they want him to play man, that's fine. He's very good in zone, off man, you know, off coverage, all that stuff. He can do it all. His short area quickness is elite, I would say, but his deep speed is kind of average. I don't think it's a problem. It's just not, he's not going to be able to keep up with like Tyreek Hill. That's not really his game. But there's very few corners that can. So, you know, you're just going to need to give him safety help for that. But he checks all the boxes for me. He's not super aggressive in run support. He's not as like dedicated to that as his coverage, where he's actually quite physical and aggressive. So I think it's not a physicality issue. I think it's more of a, you want to, you know, coach him up there and get him a little bit more involved in the run game. But he is a reliable, good tackler. He doesn't shy away from the tackles when they need to happen. But, he could play with a little bit more ferocity there. But I love this pick. It gives the Falcons that instant starter they need. He has the upside to be an NFL cornerback one. I think cornerback two is, if you're betting, I would bet on him becoming a very good like corner two, which I think is fair at this point in the draft. But he's got the upside to be a corner one. He just doesn't have necessarily the elite athletic traits that you're looking for there. But adding McKinstry gives the Falcons a lot of flexibility with AJ Terrell. If McKinstry is a hit and plays really well, the Falcons do have some flexibility with Terrell to be able to potentially tag and trade him, or maybe they do re-sign him, and then you've got two high-end corners locked up for the next 3 to 4 years, with McKinstry being a very affordable rookie contract. So it gives the team a lot of options. It's a good move to make. If they don't trade up, I still think 43 is a target spot for corner, for sure. So whether they trade up or not, I think corner is definitely a target here in this range. But I think getting into the late first round for a prospect they really like, especially if they do get this extra third round pick, that is definitely something I would be watching for. Because this is a spot where you can maximize the value. You can make sure you get the prospect you really want instead of waiting for 43. And maybe that guy's there, maybe he's not. I think it's wise for this team to go for it a little bit here. And you're not giving up too much. It's that third round pick. It is a day two pick. But if you think the difference between Kool-Aid, McKinstry, and like TJ Tampa is significant enough, then I think it's definitely worth it. And I would especially consider it for someone like a Jerzon Newton, or, you know, if a particular, you know, wide receiver fell in this range too, you know, you could consider that as well. But I do like this move, and I think this is something they'll consider after a trade down to maximize the value from this draft class. So after that pick, obviously the second round pick, we traded up, so there's no other pick in the second now. But in the third round, the Falcons still have their original two thirds, which one of them is theirs and the other one's from the Ridley trade. So at 74, we get an interior defensive lineman, which I do think is a sneaky need, obviously, not necessarily for 2024, but next year the Falcons are going to have some tough decisions to make with Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata, two interior guys making a lot of money that are getting up there in age. They may decide to keep them. They may decide to move on from one or the other. I don't know. But getting more interior guys in here to make that decision easier is going to be very helpful. So finally, I have a mock draft where Ruka Rororo falls to the Falcons in the third round. He's definitely a guy that's like straddling that second, third range. So most of the time he's gone here. But if he falls, I think he's a perfect fit. I love Rororo's tape, and that is how you say his name. It's kind of intimidating, I understand, but it's Rororo. So love Rororo. I think he's super versatile. He's good for a 3-4, right? Because I think he can play really well as a 3-tech, or he can play more of that 4-eye sort of, 3-4 defensive end thing. He can penetrate. He can, you know, hold up against the run. He doesn't take on double teams super well right now. He has trouble sort of getting off, like splitting the block or getting, you know, handling those double teams. And that's because he's on the lighter side, right? He's 6'4", 294. He's a guy that was playing up and down the line. He was playing edge some. He's probably going to need to commit to playing an interior role, bulk up into like the 300s, you know, not necessarily tons of weight, but if he could add 10 pounds, get to like 305, I think he'd be perfect for 3-tech or 4-I. And he's just an elite athlete. I mean, he's got great length at 34-inch arms. He has a 9.92 RAS. I mean, really impressive athletic testing. Ran a 4.89 at almost 300 pounds. That's pretty incredible. You know, 1.67, 10-yard split. Fantastic. Very good jumps. Very good agilities. He checks all the athletic boxes. He's got really high upside as a pass rusher and run defender, for that matter. And he plays really ferocious. Like, I love his motor. He plays super hard. He's always fighting with his hands and stuff like that. He just doesn't have a lot of like moves or technical polish. So he does fight with his hands constantly. It just doesn't always like do anything. Sometimes he'll just get caught up in hand fighting with someone and not actually shed the block. That's something that was a little bit annoying to see. But the fact that he's using his hands a lot, even if there's not necessarily a great plan involved, that means that he should be pretty coachable in that area. Give him a little bit more of a pass rush plan. Give him some specific things to do. And I think he'll become a pretty good, effective interior pass rusher and run defender. He just needs to bulk up a bit, get a little bit stronger. He's got the effort. He's got the want to, certainly. And he's got the first step, which is actually using your hands. That's the first step. Then you got to use your hands effectively. That's the next step. So I think he can get there. I think coming in this year behind Jarrett and Onyemata as like a rotational guy is perfect for him. He could have a chance to refine a little bit before he's thrust into the starting lineup, probably in 2025. I certainly think he can have some value as a rotational pass rusher this year. And, you know, if he's playing 4-I, he could probably do some run defending stuff for you too, or you could probably kick him out to 5-tech and base packages if you need to get that sort of bigger run defending presence out there. But I like him a lot. I think this is a great spot for him and a good value and a good sort of situation for him to come into as he sort of kind of fine tunes his role to the interior, adds a little bit of weight, gets a little bit more polished with his hands. And then I think we can really have something here with Ororo. Next pick, pick 79. That's the Ridley pick. I always like this to be a receiver. It just feels right, you know, taking that Ridley pick. It's been on a wide receiver, but finally getting wide receiver Javon Baker from UCF. Got to get some nights in here. At 79, Baker has definitely been rising up draft boards more than I thought. I thought he was probably going to be like a fourth round pick, which I was certainly, you know, excited to try to get him there, but it's pretty clear that he's going to go in the third round. And the reason for that is that he's just continued to impress. He had a great Senior Bowl. You know, I think people are kind of picking up on his tape being really good. And again, he was, you know, dominating the Big 12, and his yards per catch are ridiculous. And his advanced metrics are really good. Like, a lot of the markers that, you know, analytics guys look for, he has. So he's someone that a lot of people are buying into because of the potential. You know, athletically, didn't like wow, especially the deep speed. He ended up running a 4.54, which is kind of disappointing. That's, you know, I know people just think, oh, if you're a receiver, you have to run in the 4.3s to be fast. 4.54 is still above average speed for a wide receiver, just so people know. But, you know, his explosive, his jumps were good. He's got really good size. You know, he's over 6'1", over 200 pounds. He's got that physicality. And really, like, he plays fast. And it's more than just the speed. He's very nuanced with how he utilizes that speed. He throttles his routes really well. He uses that quickness and explosiveness to create space. He just, you could tell he kind of understands the finer points of the position, and he's a little bit more pro-ready. He just doesn't have that extra gear to be a super dangerous deep threat. He definitely did in college. Like, his speed was more than enough in college. In the NFL, he's probably not going to be as dangerous deep, but the way he does his routes, the way, you know, he uses his speed and his acceleration and all that to create separation is impressive. And he's a good route runner too. Physical at the catch point. You know, with him, like, he makes some absolute circus catches. He has tremendous hands. It's just the concentration drops with him sometimes, which those are frustrating, but it's not a problem that, like, he just has bad hands or is bad at catching the football. It's just one of those things where you just need to get the concentration locked in, and it should be good to go, because he makes some absolute circus catches. So it's really not, I think, a fundamental issue. It's just like just got to lock in a little bit better. And who knows how much that will improve or not. But again, I don't think it's a hands problem. So I think it's something that will not be a huge issue at the NFL level. It's just one of those things you might have to live with. And might be one of those reasons why he's just more of a long-term wide receiver 3. I think he has wide receiver 2 potential, but whether he like reaches that or not probably depends. Again, can he fix the concentration drops? Can he prove that he can play faster than his time? And, you know, can he continue to win in a lot of the ways he won in the Big 12, or is he going to be a little bit more limited at the NFL? That's the question. But in the third round, getting a high-end, long-term wide receiver three, I think is good value. I like this fit here with the Falcons. Round four, 109. Safety, Cole Bishop. We're coming back to the well. I love Cole Bishop. He's kind of stabilized his stock in that like late day two, early day three range. So, you know, I think you may be able to get him in this range instead of in the third round, which is where I'd taken him previously. But I love Cole Bishop. I think he's a good fit here. Physically checks the boxes, elite athletic testing. He's aggressive in coverage and run support, high motor. You know, he's got to clean up stuff. He's a little bit over aggressive in coverage. You know, he takes a lot of risks to make plays, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, you need to know when to do that and when not to. But when you've got Jesse Bates to be sort of the eraser on the back end, and you can have Bishop play closer to the line of scrimmage and take more risks in coverage, then that's something that could work out really well for him. You know, I think, you obviously, in the fourth round, you're not necessarily talking about a high-end starter, but I think he has that potential. He just needs some development to get there. But I like him. I think he's a versatile safety, and I'm happy to continue drafting him every time he's here in the fourth round for the most part. I think he's a good fit for this team. In the fifth round, we're going to go back to another player that I like that's also been kind of – this guy's been more rising up, sort of like Javon Baker. That's Jordan McGee, the linebacker from Temple. Previously had the Falcons taking him in the sixth round. I think he's kind of – going to be more of a fifth round player based on, you know, what I'm kind of hearing and seeing with consensus boards, but I think that's fine. I think he's absolutely worth this pick. I would have been happier to get him in the sixth because it's great value, but here in the fifth, I think is a good place for him. The Falcons do need more linebacker depth. It's not a screaming need, but I think getting a guy like McGee, who's super athlete, super physical, he's just like a hair on fire guy, right? I love that. I love watching linebackers that play like that. They generally, you can depend on those guys to be impact special teams guys right away. So he's going to have a role on special teams. That'll help him make the roster immediately. And he just needs to kind of clean up his technique. I mean, he's very unconventional with the way he plays. He's like a bowling ball out there, just kind of bouncing off guys and making tackles and all that. He's a little undersized, you know, he's 6'1", 230, but that's kind of the weight that linebackers are going towards. It's not as big of a deal as it used to be. He just makes plays. You know, I think as he's a great tackler, he's super physical. He finds ways to make the play. He's fun. And when you see guys that have that level of effort and motor, typically they're very coachable. And I think that's the case with McGee. He needs to work on his coverage. That's the big thing. It's like, he's just not very comfortable in it right now. He definitely has the athleticism that it shouldn't be an issue. He just needs to get more comfortable dropping and, you know, playing some man and stuff like that. I think right away, you know, he could be linebacker 4 or 5 for this team, be a big special teams contributor, and just keep working on the technical stuff. So I like McGee's fit. I think he's, you know, someone that I would definitely like to see Atlanta come away with on day three.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we just two picks left here, guys. Okay, we got the two sixth rounders. So first of all, 187, and that's going to be a player I haven't mocked yet, one that I kind of just got turned on to recently by listening to Trevor Sikkema over on the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. Kamal Hayden from Tennessee at corner, who is a guy that I really hadn't watched at all or really known much about. But the reason for that is that he had a season-ending shoulder injury, and I think that really dinged him. Obviously, shoulder injuries are no small thing, especially for defenders. But Hayden, after like a couple of kind of, you know, meh seasons at Tennessee, was turning in a really good season this year. He's 6'1", almost 200 pounds, got good length, very intriguing profile here. Big physical corner, great short area quickness, lacks the deep speed. I think he was, you know, in the mid to late 4.5s in terms of his speed. So that is something that is a potential problem. But, you know, he's just inconsistent right now. He's got his 2023 tape was pretty good. Like, I was like, wow, if this is what he's like, you know, we've really got something here. You know, you're going to need to check out the medicals and make sure things are okay there. But again, this is pick 187. This is a guy that might have starting upside at this point in the draft. There is a medical thing, obviously, and you have to decide how comfortable you are with that. But I think the upside of a rotational guy, maybe a cornerback 3-4 type of guy, you know, a matchup guy for the bigger receivers, that sort of thing, I think that upside's worth the risk, certainly, here. I think this is a guy that has the ability to way outperform this draft stock, or maybe he just gets hurt again and it's not worth it. But again, it's pick 187. You need to take shots on guys here, guys that you like. And this is a guy that I definitely like as an intriguing developmental cornerback. Speaking of guys to bolster the depth of this team, at pick 197, we're going to go with one of my favorite offensive tackle guys, and that's Javon Foster from Missouri. Javon Foster, just very unsexy, right? Like, and that's kind of why I like him. I feel like he just doesn't get talked about a lot. And Javon Foster's, again, just very unsexy. Like, he's doesn't really wow in any one area. He's super consistent, super durable. He's started 3 straight seasons, 13 games at left tackle. He's played on both sides of the ball. He's got, you know, good size, right? 6'5", 313, almost 35-inch arms. So he's got great length, that's for sure. He's just kind of an average athlete, but he's just savvy. Like, he's a super experienced, super durable, plays with a lot of savvy, good positioning, good hand usage, smart in pass protection, doesn't get fooled by stuff. He just doesn't overly flash. Like, I think this is an ideal swing tackle, someone that you can rely on to come in and play and hold down the fort. It's not going to be sexy. It's not going to be flashy. This is not a Pro Bowl potential tackle. But again, this is a rare day 3 tackle that I think could come in and play as a swing tackle as a rookie. It's not going to blow you away. It's not going to be overly fun. He's going to be a guy that comes in, you don't really notice him. And that, honestly, for a swing tackle, that's what you want. You want that. You want your swing tackle to be invisible. And I think that's what he could deliver. You know, does it give the Falcons a long-term answer for like Caleb McGarry or Jake Matthews? Probably not. But, you know, Storm Norton, I think, did a good job last year as a swing tackle, but that's an exception for him. He has typically struggled a lot to play. So I don't know if we could depend on Storm forever. So getting Javon Foster in there as another option and a potential developmental guy for the long haul, I think is interesting, and I think it's good value at this point in the draft. So there's all the picks, folks. Again, I think, you know, if the Falcons are going to trade down, I think this is kind of the situation they're going to look at. You know, if they trade down, and again, I think this, you can use this trade down to 19 as a big trade down, in which case you pick up a big future asset in that first round pick, which is just absolutely critical and huge for so many potential scenarios next year. Or, you know, you could just ignore that first round pick for next year and then say, oh, okay, well, you could just use this as a stand in for a trade to 10, 11, 12 ish. You know, if they go to 13 with the Raiders, I think that is definitely one to watch, by the way. That's probably more the second round pick range or third plus something else range. And I think that is definitely one to look at because I think that's pretty good value for the Falcons too, where they're not, and they still are getting ahead of the Saints for Latu or one of these edge rushers. You know, I think that's sort of what I'm leaning towards actually is maybe that is the most likely outcome because given who the Falcons want and given how many teams are clamoring to get up for either Rome Odunze or Joe Wall or JJ McCarthy or Michael Penix or whoever it is, so many guys, so many teams trying to get up, it seems like something very easily could happen. And if the Falcons lose a pick for tampering, then it's even more likely to happen because they're going to want to recoup that somehow. So I hope that, you know, they're more able to use that as an additional asset instead of losing one. But, you know, at this point, who knows what's going to happen with that. But I think, you know, a trade is particularly likely. I think this is one potential scenario where the Falcons trade back and then trade up from the second round to grab, you know, one of those late first round prospects they really like. They could also just stand pat at 43, or they could trade up from the third round for someone, and that would be cheaper. So, you know, there's a lot of potential ways this could go. We know Terry Fontenot has typically been pretty active on day 2. That's where he's made the majority of his trades. So I would definitely watch that as well. But just a fun exercise, you know, with the Falcons getting quite a haul here, really bolstering their future and getting a lot of good depth pieces and earlier contributors to sort of position this roster for success And this year, obviously, with Latu and McKinstry, but also for the future with Aroro and Javon Baker and those guys on day three that I think can all be potential long-term contributors. Obviously, some will and some won't. That's kind of how this works. But fun class, fun group of guys here. And I think this is a pretty good example of what a trade-down draft could look like. So hope you enjoyed it. Don't get too angry about these picks. Again, these aren't really like firm predictions. At this point, I think these are the players that I think the Falcons are more likely to be interested in than not. But, it's hard to predict the draft. This is more of an exercise. Just remember that. I'm sure you guys won't listen, but that's okay. Some of you will, some of you won't. It's fine. It's whatever. But thanks for tuning in to Dirty Birds and Brews, guys. Reminder, all three nights of the draft will be live. We'll be starting at about 7:45 on Thursday, 7 on Friday, and then about noon when things kick off on Saturday. We'll be here all the time. We've got a huge guest list. Lots of fun we're going to have here as we break down all the picks. And can't wait. I think it's going to be a fun draft this year. Looking forward to having you all here. We're going to be giving away $50 NFL Shop gift cards on each day as well. So definitely tune in for that, if nothing else, right? But thank you guys so much for joining us on the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin. Please like, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Leave us that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Check out the Patreon. Check out the channel memberships on YouTube, depending on your preferred way of interacting. Leave us a comment. Tell me what you think about a potential trade down. What kind of trade downs would you take? What kind of mocks would you do? Who are you expecting the Falcons to get at the top of this draft? Let us know what you think in the comments there. Those help us out as well. So thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast, bright and early on Tuesday for another mock draft. This will be a non-trade mock draft for those of you that prefer that style. So looking forward to that as well. We'll see you guys next time. Have a great day, folks.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.